From the Xfinity Studios at WVON. You're listening to American Heroes, hosted by Cliff Kelly on WVON AM 1690.
Good afternoon. This is the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON. This is America's Heroes Group Roundtable with partner Jesse Brown, VA Works. And we are so pleased to have some great people with us today. April is Sexual Assault Awareness and National Deaf History Month. Today, of course, is Saturday, April 11th, 2020. I'm the host, Cliff Kelly. Our executive producer is Glenda Smith. Our digital media producer is Manny Corazzari. And our assistant digital media producer is Titus Williams. Manny has been ill. We, of course, hope he is doing well. That's very important to all of us. And our topics. We've got some call-ins, and it's very important. Thank you. My executive producer is reminding me of some very important sponsors. I'm trying to get to our guest, Attorney Steve Seidman, Seidman, Margulis, and Fairman, LLP, 20 South Clark Street, 2 First National Plaza, Suite 700, Chicago, Illinois, 60603. Our toll-free number is 888-837-3275. The office there is 312-781-1977. America's Heroes Group is also proudly sponsored by Pearl's Place Down Home Southern Cooking and Buffet at 3901 South Michigan Avenue, Chicago, Illinois. The phone number there is 877-275-5852. Just a great place. The buffet. Now, of course, you can pick up or delivery only. Pick up or delivery only because of, you know, the situation. Also, America's Heroes Group, She Serves, She Matters partner and sponsor with the National Women's Veterans United, NWVU. The 8620 South Pulaski is their office on the lower level. Here in Chicago, Illinois, 60652. The office is 872-731-2150. Website, www.nwvu.org. So we're happy about that. All right. We have on our guest lines, Dr. Ellen Kokey, who is a military sexual trauma coordinator at Jesse Brown, and we are so pleased to have her with us. Doctor, how are you? Doctor, can you hear me? Yes, she's there. Doctor? All right. Well, we see Chandra Johnson also is with us, a U.S. Army veteran, and Jesse Brown, public affairs officer with over 18 years of combined VA experience. Are you there, Chandra?
Hi, Cliff. Yes, I'm here.
Good, good. Hi. How are you?
I am just fine. How are you doing today?
Good, good, good. Thank you. There's so many things going on.
Hello?
Yeah. Is that...
This is Dr. Koski, yes.
Oh, yeah, Dr. Koski, thank you for being back with us. We appreciate it.
Of course.
It. Thank you, thank you. So many things going on now. It's great. Yeah, yeah. Chandra, you were going to tell us something. Tell us what's going on.
Well, sure, we're here today. Dr. Koski is actually our military sexual trauma coordinator at Jesse Brown, so she's going to talk a little bit about her role. And also, she's going to talk about SAM Month. This month, of course, April is Sexual Assault Awareness Month. So I'll go ahead and turn it over to her so she can talk about her program.
Okay. All right. Doc?
Yes. Mm-hmm. So I am the Military Sexual Trauma Coordinator at Jesse Brown, as was mentioned. And each VA has a Military Sexual Trauma Coordinator that's located there and is... the role is designed to be just a really a primary point of contact to any veteran or any clinician or provider that might have questions related to military sexual trauma. And part of the goal is really to reduce any barriers that veterans might have in terms of reaching staff to address issues related to military sexual trauma, since it's such an important and key issue. So one good thing that's important to mention is that I have a direct phone number that any veteran can can give a call to at the VA. And that number I can just provide it to folks is 312-569-MSTI. And so really I have the opportunity
MSTI.
To just MSTI, yes.
Yeah, that's good said well.
And so I just serve as a point of contact for any veteran that has questions or concerns related to MST. And I also just am a community partner to agencies in the community that offer services. And I try to get veterans connected with care or address any issues or concerns they might have. And so this month is, as was mentioned, is Sexual Assault Awareness Month. And it happens every April, and it's throughout the community and throughout the country. And it's a month that's designed to just really increase awareness related to sexual assault and try to cultivate prevention of these issues in our community. And we have a lot of great programming that goes on within the VA in particular related to Sexual Assault Awareness Month. And this year's theme is You Are Not Alone. And I just think that that's such an important message to convey to veterans when it comes to MST. And we usually have a lot of really great public-facing events that go on at the VA for SAM Month, but obviously some of the programming has had to change a little bit this year. So Ms. Johnson, our public affairs officer, has been fantastic in partnering with me to really think through ways to get the word out to veterans. So we've been having some Facebook Live events to generate awareness.
That's great. Ms. Johnson, give us some examples.
So Facebook Live, that event happens every Wednesday for SAM Month. So the subjects change. So the first week we had an introduction with Dr. Ellen, and they pretty much went over what she just did, what SAM Month is for, and what the MST program can do for you. And the second week, we did the clothesline project, and I'll let Dr. Ellen talk about that clothesline project. Really great.
Okay. Doc?
Yes. We have an art therapist at Jesse Brown named Patrick Morrissey, who is just an extraordinary individual. And the clothesline project is something that's really an area of expertise for him. And it is a art installation where veterans have designed pieces. They have used a T-shirt and expressed about their experience of military sexual trauma on a T-shirt. And these T-shirts then have been displayed in the public area of the hospital on a clothesline. And it really just creates a powerful representation for veterans to really express themselves and speak their mind about what their experience of MSC has been. And it's really a great way to generate awareness and generate attention to this issue during SAM month in particular. And Patrick let me know that the art installation is growing. And so at this point, we have 75 independent t-shirts that are part of the collection. So it's quite large, and it's really something to take stock of visually when it is presented in the hospital.
Give us an example about the t-shirt, Doc.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, there are all kinds of different colors, and, you know,
they're actually the t-shirts.
Artwork, yeah, yeah, okay. And the artwork is just really individualized, so none of the t-shirts is the same. Some of them have silk screening on them, some of them have other kinds of pieces or materials that are added to the t-shirts, but each one is a distinct expression and story of a veteran who has experienced MST.
Yeah.
And the gallery is also available on our Facebook page. So if they go to VA Chicago on Facebook, they can see that clothesline gallery. So since we weren't able to display it, because usually we display the t-shirts, we display them at the facility. But since we couldn't do that, we did a virtual gallery. And that's something you can see online at VA Chicago on Facebook.
Interesting. WVON call-in number is 312-374-8130 if you have a question or a comment. Very interesting. These people can certainly give you an answer for sure. Do you think, to either of you, that there is more of this than people really realize, the problems with
yes, I could speak to that.
Please.
I think that this is an issue that's very hard to get accurate estimates on.
Sure.
But we know that, for instance, 1 in 4 female veterans have reported a history of military sexual trauma, and 1 in 100 male veterans. And we also know that at the Jesse Brown VA itself, we have over 1,700 veterans who have reported a history of MST.
How many male veterans did you say?
It's generally the prevalence of it is 1 in 100 male veterans mm-hmm. have reported a history of it.
Mm-hmm. And there's probably a lot more male veterans, but they don't report it. Would that be fair to state?
I think it can be a very difficult issue for male veterans to report. So I think that it's very possible that there's more who have not felt comfortable sharing and haven't disclosed.
Okay, great. We also...
What would some of the symptoms be? Mm-hmm. Would it be similar to PTSD? Like, say I experienced this, how would I know that I needed to reach out for help? What are some of the things I would go through?
Yeah, that's a great question.
Yeah.
And I think that MST is definitely an experience rather than a particular diagnosis.
Mm-hmm.
But we know that it can be associated with a wide range of difficulties, including mental health symptoms of depression, anxiety. For some, it is post-traumatic stress disorder, but it can be eating disorders. It can be substance use. It can be insomnia. It can be difficulties in relationships with others. So it can be a wide range of things, of mental health conditions, but there can also be physical health conditions that we know are tied to MST, like chronic migraine headaches, gastrointestinal problems, sexual dysfunctioning, or even pelvic floor disorder issues. So it can be a lot of issues, and it's just a good conversation to start with your providers, your mental health providers, and your primary care physician.
We are pleased to have back with us Terry Odom, U.S. Army and Navy veteran for 16 years and an MST survivor. And welcome. Well, Terry, are you there? I hope we didn't lose Terry. Terry, welcome back if you're there. We're sure you're on our line. He was with us some time ago, and we certainly wanted to get him back. Okay, I understand. He is with us. Terry, are you there?
I'm here. I'm sorry. I got disconnected.
That's okay. We are so pleased to have you. Hey, welcome back. All right.
Thank you.
Right. Give us some background here, some information about.
Well, I'm involved in the St. Louis DA locally, but also nationwide, of course. I am a board director of a nonprofit called Protect Our Defenders, which we launched in 2011. And like the doctor said, MST is actually, it's a Department of Veterans abbreviation for military sexual trauma. And what I am able to do in my volunteer role at the St. Louis VA, currently not so much because of what's going on, of course, so we've had to do a lot of different things. My role is to advise and work with our executive team and all of our clinicians and providers, and of course, the most important people, our veterans. And just through trial and error, I've been able to extend my ears to their voice to approximately about 10,000 veterans now. Because when I originally was called to volunteer in that role, it was supposed to be a 6-week program, and in June coming up will be my 9th year. So the pilot program, the 6-week pilot program, is going into its 9th year.
Obviously it's working.
Well, you know, I wish it didn't work. I wish there was not one
need.
Veteran.
Yeah.
Wish there was not one veteran that ever walked through the doors of any VA or any private sector facility that needed the services that we do. Mm-hmm. And like the doctor said, you know, all kinds of after effects from the sexual assault or harassment, and it can be lots of mental health issues, but also a tremendous amount of physical health issues. And so it takes an entire team of providers, mental health, GI, you name it. We have obviously our suicide prevention team is wonderful to work with, because there is a higher percentage of military sexual trauma veterans in that population that either attempt suicide or sadly complete suicide. So we're constantly having to, you know, work on those issues. And my thing with veterans that test positive for MST is, you know, I want them to be able to share with me. Since I'm a volunteer, it's a lot easier. I'm not their provider. I don't get paid by the Department of Veterans Affairs, and I'm one of them. I'm in their shoes, been in their shoes. Mm-hmm. Not that each person in each situation isn't different, but fortunately, you know, I have a really good rapport. I think I do, seem to, and you know, veterans that I work with know that they can call me 24/7. 365, I'll be there. And my, you know, when they're comfortable and ready, that's when I, in my office, with their permission, will pick up the phone to get a hold of our military sexual trauma coordinator first. And then right now it's a she. And at that point, like the doctor said, we send the veteran to all the services that best fits their needs currently. And one of the things about a military sexual trauma veteran, you do not need to be service connected to receive services for MST.
Wow.
So you could walk into the VA, go to enrollment. You don't have to have any kind of service connection whatsoever, and we will treat you to include pharmaceuticals if needed. Is that correct, doctor? Is that still the policy?
Yes, treatment can include mental health, physical health care, and can include prescriptions as well.
Yes, that's correct. So, you know, that's a huge benefit, and it started about 6 years ago where we could do that, because before, generally, our veterans needed to have a service connection our pension already before we did any type of treatment or anything like that. So that in this particular situation, you no longer need to be service connected or even have a claim in or anything like that. Benefits can come second. We have to fix your health first, or at least start the journey, because it's not anything that can be fixed. But you know, with a large amount of support and team effort, it's a journey, and it, like I said, it just takes a mountain of people, because it's military sexual trauma is definitely underreported, and it just takes an enormous large professional team to work with each veteran. And myself, the VA was the best thing. That front door was the best door I ever walked in.
Wow.
But without walking in that front door 15 years ago, I definitely would not be on this phone right now.
That is so interesting. And is it getting better relative to veterans that are having the problem?
It's not getting better, sir. It's the numbers are still increasing, sadly, and that includes from our academies and everything else. I will say what's getting better is some of the stigma is starting to drop. So we are actually having more men finally coming out, and women. It's not any, you know, they're finally, it may be 30 years after separation from military. It may be 6 months after separation from military. But a lot of the stigma is ending, especially at the Department of Veterans Affairs. We have many resources now, and like the doctor said, you could start with your primary if that's where you want to start. You know, you may have already been enrolled in the VA for something else, and all of a sudden, you know, you think, okay, it's time now. There's something that's really heavy on me. That's really, really, really my number one problem, and this is where it is, because not every sexual assault was reported during military service, so we have to look for magnets and things, markers within their service records and their service jackets. And when you start looking at someone's service records and medical records, you'll definitely see markers that something serious happened to them. Right. And that's how a lot of the claims are put through and so forth, because one of the saddest things about military sexual trauma survivors is the retaliation, the guilt, the lack of belief, you know.
You folks are just doing a fantastic job.
So it just takes a lot of people, a long journey. It's a marathon, not a sprint. Mm-hmm. And there's going to be good days and bad days.
Right. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
To all of you. And this is America's Heroes Group, and we will be back.
Hi, this is Cliff Kelly, the host of America's Heroes Group. If you or a loved one has been injured in an accident or the result of malpractice, you have only one chance to get the compensation you deserve. You need a law firm you can trust with experience and resources who will fight on your behalf. With a proven track record of excellence both in and out of the courtroom, call Seidman, Margulis, and Fairman at 312-781-1977 for a free consultation, or visit SeidmanLaw.net. That's Seidman, S-E-I-D-M-A-N, law.net.
Hey, Cliff, where can a veteran business owner go on the south side of Chicago for breakfast, lunch, and dinner meetings?
I'm a veteran, and that's an easy answer. Pearl's Place on 39th and Michigan. Pearl's Place has free parking available across the street. Reasonably priced, quality food that tastes delicious. Veteran owners, there's no place like Pearl's Place.
Hi, we're the National Women Veterans United, the proud sponsors and partners of the Americans Hero Group.
Our mission is to ensure that women veterans are aware and have access to their VA benefits, resources, and entitlements. We monitor current or pending legislation that may impact VA eligibility and services. And we provide a safe place for women to come relax. We have a meditation room. They can get food, clothing, housewares, whatever emergency services they may need.
We're the only Women Veterans Center in the state of Illinois. We are members of the Army, Navy, Marines,
Air Force, Coast Guard, National Guard, and the Reserves.
Governor of Talk Radio, your executive producer wants to know, where can I go for delicious shrimp? Any suggestions?
Absolutely. The one and only veteran business owner, Harris Gulf Shrimp, at 7448 Vincennes. I personally eat there. The price and shrimp are nothing other than fantastic.
Thank you, the one and only Governor of Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm Sister Soldier, proud partner of She Voices on America's Heroes Group. She serves, she matters, where your change becomes empowered. Also, watch me on the web at SheVetInspires.com or YouTube. Remember, I'm every woman because I am just like you.
I'm Cliff Kelly, Vietnam veteran and host of America's Heroes Group, the game changer in radio, print, and digital media programming. We are a roundtable talk show where information, resources, and referrals are provided intentionally every Saturday to empower our military population on WVON 1690 AM, the iHeart Radio app from 4 to 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. Please visit our website at www.americashg.org.
Need a job, want to change professions, or are you retired and want to just get back into the workplace? Atlas and
it is 4:36 on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVO, and this is America's Heroes Group roundtable with partner Chicago Regional Office Veterans Benefits Administration, and we're going to talk about something that is extremely interesting that a lot of people certainly aren't totally aware of, and that's why we like to let people know about it. We have some topics that are very interesting. We have some panelists that are going to be talking about. We just talked about something that a lot of folks weren't aware of. Now we're going to talk about some more. On our live line, we have Anna M. Barron, Acting Director, Chicago Regional Office of Veteran Benefits Administration. Also, John Pennington, retired U.S. Army officer, veteran, and Assistant Veterans Service Center Manager for Chicago VBA Regional Office, and John Hugel, who is a U.S. Army Medic Veteran and Decision Review Officer for the Chicago VBA Regional Office. And we are certainly pleased to have them. Up next, the discussion is changes in blue water Navy claims, and a lot of people are not really aware of about the blue water Navy claims, and it's extremely important. Let's go to John Pennington. How are you, sir?
John, I'm doing great. How are you doing, sir?
Good, John. Thank you so much. And also Anna McBaron. Anna, how are you today?
I'm doing good, Cliff. Glad to be with you again.
Yeah, absolutely. Glad to be with you. Anna, let's go right with you. And Jeff is with us, too. I didn't know he was with us. Jeff, you?
Yes, sir.
With us. Hi, Jay.
Hi, Mr. Kelly. How are you
good,
today?
Good, 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 good. We got the three of you here. This is great. A lot of good information. Okay. Who wants to start?
Well, Cliff, I think we'll let Jeff start. He's our resident expert on the Blue Water Navy, so
okay.
He can give us some good information about
right.
The changes in the law and how that works.
That's great.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Anna. As mentioned, the Blue Water Navy Vietnam Veterans Act of 2019 went into effect on January 1st of 2020. And what the Blue Water Navy Vietnam Veterans Act does is basically redefines how the VA determines and considers Agent Orange affected Vietnam veterans. In the past, we only conceded Agent Orange exposure to veterans who actually set foot on Vietnam soil or those who traveled up the inland waterways. For example, a Navy veteran who was stationed off the coast of Vietnam, even a half mile or a mile, would not have gotten the same presumed Agent Orange exposure under past regulations. And so again, what public law 116-23, or the Blue Water Navy Vietnam Veterans Act, does is that it extends the presumption of Agent Orange exposure to any naval veteran who may have served 12 nautical miles off the coast of Vietnam. And when I speak to people about this, I always tell them the best way to think of this is looking at the country of Vietnam, try to think of a highlighted area just 12 nautical miles in a zone, so to speak, off the coast. If you are a veteran who served on a ship that went into that area at any point in time between January 9th of 1962 and May the 7th of 1975, the VA considers you to have been exposed to Agent Orange, just like any Vietnam veteran who actually set foot on Vietnam soil. So what it does is it increases the number of men and women who potentially could be entitled to Agent Orange-related disability benefits with the VA. Try to imagine all the hundreds of thousands of ships that operated in that 12 nautical mile zone, in a period of time of more than 13 years. We're talking about hundreds of thousands of ships and thousands upon thousands of naval veterans who would then or are now under this new law considered to be exposed to Agent Orange.
It really makes a big difference, doesn't it? Who wants to continue this? This is a very important situation.
Well, I will piggyback on that as well.
Yeah,
one of the other parts of the Blue Water Navy Vietnam Veterans Act is that it also expanded the time range for Korean DMZ veterans. In the past, the time frame for what we considered Agent Orange use at the demilitarized zone in Korea was a much smaller time range. Now the new law has expanded that time frame, and I want to get those dates out there as well, because it runs from September 1st of 1967 to August 31st of 1971. So if you are a veteran who served at the Korean DMZ between September 1st of 1967 and August 31st of 1971, the VA also considers you to have been exposed to Agent Orange, and again would open up a whole host of entitlements for certain diseases under the law.
This is a great thing that this has come about, folks. How did this happen, and was it difficult to get this law passed? Who wants to respond to that?
Well, I'll just say over the years that, as the VA gathers more and more information about where Agent Orange was sprayed and how far it could travel in the air and those types of things, they've continued to expand the presumption of exposure for veterans that were, in different areas. At first you had to have actually set foot in country in Vietnam, and then they expanded it to the brown waterways, which are, the lakes and streams that run through the country, and now we've expanded it to the blue water, 12 miles off the coast. So as we gather more information about, how widespread the use of the toxin was, and then also, how it traveled through the air, then VA makes these decisions.
which is a good thing, obviously.
Absolutely.
Do you think we're going to even see more exposure to this sort of thing?
I think that's always possible. Mm-hmm. You know, as we learn more and gather more information, that's always possible.
Yeah. Who else would like to respond to that?
Well, Cliff, I had the opportunity to speak to one of the attorneys who helped to draft H.R. 299, which was the House resolution before it became what we know of as Blue Water Navy Vietnam Veterans Act. And, you know, he was a Navy veteran himself, and it was fascinating to speak to him about this because he shared with me, you know, just the common sense thinking behind this. You know, if you think about it, these herbicides are constantly running off of the mainland in Vietnam. You know, they're exiting the country through the rivers, and then they're entering the ocean. Well, the naval veterans off the coast didn't have a great deal of fresh water available to them, so they had ships that were filtering and you know, taking the salt out of the water for them to make it potable. Well, it just stands to reason that if you have all of these herbicides running off of the land and into the oceans, that you know, they weren't filtering for herbicides and dioxin and things of that nature. So of course that, you know, the water that they were drinking and then bathing in on the ships, you know, as it was filtered by these other ships, you know, that they would be exposed to it in that manner. So, you know, I at first had some questions about, you know, how do you come up with the 12 nautical miles? But as he explained it to me, it made a great deal of sense because these guys, these veterans off the coast, you know, they were exposed to it in much the same way that, you know, they were drinking it. They were, it was in the ocean water that was then filtered and, you know, the salt was taken out of it. But, you know, they didn't remove any of the toxins. And so it made a great deal of sense after talking to him about it.
Interesting. Very interesting. Our call-in number, I'm sure there are some people who have questions about this. The WVON call-in number is 312-374-8130. Do we have a caller, Robert?
Hello, Cliff.
Hey, Robert. How are you?
Okay, this is my second time calling about Thailand. I'm in Thailand in 67, November to 69. They sprayed Agent Orange in Thailand, Karat, and Ryan KP over there, where we was. And they've made to Thailand now. And I'd like to know, I know they might say they did. I asked a number of times about it. They said no. And I was in a transport coming back from Vietnam, coming back from Thailand, and we still on the ground a while picking up bodies in Vietnam, you know.
Okay.
Can you answer that?
Anybody can anybody help Robert understand? He's talking about Thailand.
Robert, I will just say this, that so far that a presumption of exposure in Thailand has not been established by the Secretary of VA. However, if you have specific documentation in your military records that show that you were exposed to the toxin Agent Orange, we can still establish that connection.
Okay. Someone else was going to respond to.
And to piggyback on what Anderson mentioned. This is Jeff. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah. That's Jeff. Mm-hmm.
To piggyback what Anna just mentioned, you know, we do those cases in Thailand on a facts found basis. You know, we have to actually corroborate and on a case by case basis determine if the individual was exposed to Agent Orange. But she's absolutely correct. There is no blanket presumption just because you were in Thailand that you were exposed to Agent Orange. So those cases are still a case-by-case basis, or what we call a facts-found basis. We have to determine, did your duties at whatever Air Force base you may have been at in Thailand, did that bring you into close proximity with the perimeter where the tactical herbicides were being used? So, again, for Air Force bases, in Thailand, those determinations of Agent Orange exposure are made on a case-by-case, facts-found basis.
Are we getting a lot? Do we hear a lot about that or not?
We see quite a few claims in terms of claims for Agent Orange-related disabilities based upon service in Thailand.
In Thailand.
The Royal Thai Air Force bases.
Hmm. And there's been no grants, though? Or?
Oh, yes. Yes, I've processed many grants myself.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not the easiest thing to do as far as determining on a case by case basis.
Mm-hmm.
But the documentation is usually there, and many times these veterans have service which would most certainly have brought them to the perimeter of these Air Force bases, like security patrol, security police jobs. You know, obviously those individuals would have been at the perimeters of the base on multiple occasions, which would have brought them into close proximity with the tactical herbicides that were used. And for everyone out there, the tactical herbicides were basically used to clear and kill foliage so that they could see so that they could see the enemy.
Right.
And certainly, there was a lot of usage at the base perimeters out there. So, security police obviously would have been exposed to that just based on their duties.
How many you folks are really, I guess, are really up on what's going on here, what might still remain. Do we have any idea how many more claims are going to be made relative to this sort of thing?
Anybody we're hoping that by getting the word out that there will be more claims.
You're hoping there will be more. Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir. As far as quantifying it, I wouldn't even want to hazard a guess.
Mm-hmm.
But, the whole point of this, and we've been doing, town hall meetings at Jesse Brown, at Hines, at North Chicago VA medical centers, just to try and get the word out that, this change in the law is going to open up a potential for entitlement for many living veterans as well as their surviving spouses. So the goal here is to just get the word out, and if they have any inclination or any thought that they may have been exposed, or for surviving spouses who feel or believe that their husbands are surviving, or that their veterans may have been exposed, they really just need to contact us and get the ball rolling as far as filing a claim.
I think the VA should be commended relative to reaching out, trying to get individuals to understand that they could be claims made for themselves or others. Is that correct to all of you?
Absolutely. And I want to thank you for giving us the platform here today on a Saturday afternoon. I mean, we've done a lot, I think, in terms of, sending letters to veterans to get the word out. Like I said, doing town halls at the VA medical centers. But any vehicle that we can utilize to get the word out, your radio show being another one, is greatly appreciated. So I want to thank you for giving us this opportunity to get the word out in another vehicle.
Thank you so much. Anytime we can do this, this is what this show is about, obviously. And with folks like yourselves who are really experts on this in many, many ways, it really helps a whole lot of people.
Yeah, and Cliff, I would just like to say that for anybody who, thinks that they might fall into this category or knows that they fall into this category, but they're not sure where to start in filing a claim, our office at 2122 West Taylor Street is closed right now due to the COVID-19 pandemic, but our 1-800 line, which is 1-800-827-1000, is open, and counselors are ready to take your call and help you get started with this. You can also find more information at va.gov. You can also, if you already have an e-benefits account, you can apply for benefits related to this exposure on your e-benefits account. But if you just feel like you're lost and you don't know where to start, the best thing to do is call that 1-800 number and talk to a counselor. And that, again, that number is 1-800-827-1000.
That's great. And that can start you on the trip, right?
Sure, yes.
That's a wonderful thing. 1-800-827-1000. All right. Yeah, everything. I'm glad you mentioned that because everything's obviously closed up right now. So.
Yes, yeah. But we are, like I said, our call centers are open. They're taking calls. They're helping veterans. If someone were to call in with an issue and it can't be resolved by one of the counselors answering the phone, they're putting an electronic inquiry into the system, and our folks are getting those. I have two people that are coming into our office still processing mail. So if you're sending mail to us, it's still going to get to where it needs to go. Every other person in the office is working from home right now,
and
our folks that normally work our public contact unit and meet with veterans face-to-face are working at home, so if they get those inquiries, they can still handle those. So nothing about the services that we provide has stopped other than we're not seeing folks face-to-face right now. But we can do everything either online or by phone that we do in person.
I think that's great information. That's wonderful. Between Anna, John, and Jeff, you folks, things are being taken care of, right?
That's right. That's the number one thing.
Yes,
take care of our veterans. That's
right.
What we're here for.
That's right, and you're doing a great job doing it. And I'll ask a few minutes, what else do we need? What you folks have just got so much information. What else do we need to know?
One of the things that I want to stress right now in the current situation is that, you know, don't wait to do anything about your VA claim until, you know, this is over, because we can do everything right now. We can still provide the same services. So if you were going to send us a letter, send it. If you have evidence that you were submitting to support a claim, still send that to us. If you need it to talk to us about something other than coming into the office, you can still do that. You, like I said, that number, 1-800-827-1000, call and talk to a counselor, or go online into your e-benefits account or to va.gov if you're just searching for information. We can do everything. I really want to reiterate that we can do all of the things that we do when the office is open.
That's wonderful. It really is. Let's take a caller. Carl, hi. You're on America's Heroes Group.
Yeah, I wanted to know about this Blue Water Agent Orange benefit.
Mm-hmm. Go right ahead. You got.
And how do I find out if I'm eligible for any part of that?
Bridget, yeah. Pardon?
Do you have to have been in country?
Where are you calling from, sir?
I'm calling from South Carolina.
From South Carolina. Okay.
Carl, if you don't know if you fall into that category, it depends on, you know, where you served. And if you were on a ship, 12 miles off the coast of Vietnam in that perimeter. But if you're not sure, then, like I said, you can call that 1-800 number and you can see if you meet the criteria to apply for that. And then if you have, you know, any disabilities that are presumptive disabilities related to herbicide exposure, then they can get that ball rolling for you. And
okay.
If you,
okay, that's 1-800-827-1000.
That's it.
1-800-827-1000. And if you don't have proof that you were within that 12-mile perimeter, we have an extensive library of, you know, ship logs, deck logs. You know, we can research that information for you to get it to substantiate your claim.
All right. They're going to take it.
Okay.
Yeah.
That answers my question.
That's
thank you
great.
Very much.
Glad
you
called.
Thanks, Carl.
Right. You folks are really taking care of it, that's for sure. 1-800-827-1000. That's the number, right? And I just think it's great what you're able to track down on this. I want to thank you, Anna, John, Jeff. Thank you, folks, for giving us all this great information. We really appreciate it.
Keep it going.
Well, we appreciate you having us on again.
Yeah, yeah, evidently.
Yeah, thank you again for having us.
Oh, it's a pleasure.
Yeah, we appreciate it.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, the evidently, there's somebody else. So, yeah, did you want to tell us anything before we close out, folks? Anything, Anna?
No, I mean, just the last thing that I will say is, mm-hmm. you know, we're here to serve you guys, so mm-hmm. don't hesitate to reach out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yes, and again, like Anna mentioned, if you even think you might fall into this category, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. by all means, give us a call.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we work with, you know, the military, the Department of Defense, the National Archives. We will do everything we can to research and find out if you were on a ship that may have gone into that 12 nautical mile distance from the coast. It's our obligation and it's our duty to assist you in finding that information. So if you think that you may have been on a ship that may have gone within that 12 nautical mile zone, by all means, give us a call. We'll start the process and our counselors will be able to advise you and take your claim and move forward from there.
You folks are great. That's really reaching out, and we really appreciate it. Thank you, the three of you, again. Appreciate you.